Good morning, everybody. Welcome to KUC. Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through to 16. We are reading from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. And here is the word of the Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad for your reward. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks, praise, and glory be to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Raymond.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts together this morning be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You are the one who blesses us. Teach us what it means to be blessed by you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So as many of you already know, I became a Christian in my early 20s. And at the time, I kept coming across a word that was being used a lot, which I had never heard before. And that word was blessing. I heard my Christian friends use the word all the time, and I noticed that sometimes people would write blessings as a way of signing off at the end of letters and emails. Since blessing seems to be such a common word in the Christian community, once I became a Christian myself, I started to use the word too. Nobody told me the definition of it, but just from the way people are interacting, I fear what that might mean. So I would say, blessings to you, when my friends and I parted ways. Or I would say things like, I am blessed to have you in my life, or I had such a blessed time. Knowing how common this word is, our community here too, I imagine many of you have similar experiences when it comes to using this word. So I want to ask you all a question today. If you were given the phrase, I am truly blessed, like you see on the screen, and ask to complete the sentence by filling out more word or sentence, what would you write down? I am truly blessed. Don't Don't worry, I'm not going to pick someone and, you know, quiz them. I'm not going to ask you. But if you don't mind, I will share some of the things that came to my mind as I prepared this message. I am blessed, have a great family. I'm blessed because God loves me. I'm blessed because I have a calling in my life and I am privileged to follow it. I am blessed to be able to watch people build closer relationships with God and with one another. I'm blessed to have access to good and affordable medical care and have good support from friends and family. I am blessed to have received a good education. I'm sure I could think of even more to add of this if I have time, but I think you get the idea. Let's go back to the first slide we looked at together, blessings. Now, if you look at the word blessings up on the slide, you might notice that how it's made up out of the word count. Right? Count, 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 blessing, blessings, blessings. This is something we often hear people say, count your blessings. When we think of blessing, whether we do it intentionally or not, we often tend to think about them numerically, in numbers. When we count our blessing and when we do, we often say there are too many to count. If we make a list of blessings, listing all the way that we are blessed, I'm guessing that for some of you, that would be a pretty long list. It might contain the number of friends you have, the number of children or grandchildren you have, the amount of money you earn or might be able to save, your degree or degrees, job title you earned, the area you live, the type of house you live in, and places you've been able to travel, and of the victories of your partner, your children, or grandchildren. We are Christians, so of course we don't attribute these good things to our own goodness, right? This is why we don't brag, we don't walk around talking about how we deserve all these things, but instead attribute them to God and God's kindness to us. I'm blessed to have all these things by God. But I want us to take a moment today and think. Are the things we have, are the things that were given to us, what blessing are really all about? Let me put it in another way. If having all these things are given to you are blessings, what about the people who do not have a stable family, children, money, secure career, or luxurious home? What about people who do not have a good marriage, or well-behaved kids, or good friends, or community? If you fall into this category, does that mean you are not blessed by God? Well, why don't we take a look at the Gospel of Matthew and see what Jesus says about blessings, shall we? Today's chapter comes during the early stages of Jesus' ministry. In chapter before today's reading, in Matthew chapter 4, we hear about the very beginnings of Jesus' ministry. After he overcame the temptation in the wilderness by the devil, he called the very first disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and told them to leave their lives as fishermen and follow him instead. And after that, he went around throughout Galilee, teaching and preaching the good news. He cured diseases and sickness among the people, becoming famous as a healer and miracle worker. People brought all manner of sick people to him, and Jesus cured all of them, all of them. Great crowds, so, began to follow him. Think about that for a minute. What does your heart tell you about a situation like this, if you are in that situation? All these people who are sick, suffering greatly with pains and disease, demoniacs, paralytics, and all these issues, all of them were cured. You might even consider them blessed because they received a cure for their suffering from God. But according to Jesus, that is not how he defines blessedness. He does not refer to the cure as a blessing, not to those who he had healed as blessed. So then the question remains, who was it that Jesus did call blessed? Let's take a look at what he said. Matthew chapter 5 starts with what is called Beatitudes. It is a collection of sayings by Jesus that starts with, blessed are. And the very first blessed people Jesus mentions are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Now the Greek word used here, which we translate as blessed, is called makarios, which more closely translates to happy, fortunate. In ancient times, this word makarios, meaning blessedness, was often used to describe someone as being so free from the hardships and difficulties in life, and someone who is so lucky that they don't have a single care in the world. That would mean, of course, that the most blessed people in the world would be the most educated, those with the most wealth resources. While we might not necessarily use blessed that way in English, it's important to know that Jesus did understand it as being used this way, as it was used in Greek-speaking communities at the time. Knowing that, it becomes all the more powerful to realize that here, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is using the word blessed in a whole new different way. Jesus says, blessed are all those who are going through difficulties, challenges, and hardships. Wow, good job, congratulations. Think about that for a moment. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit and those who mourn. This means that the most deserving of celebration are the brokenhearted people, those who push on for righteousness, and those who show mercy, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. Jesus tells us that those who have to do all those hard things are worthy of congratulations. Being meek, pursuing righteousness, being merciful, being pure in heart, being a peacemaker, being persecuted. None of these things are easy. And because they are not easy, we never tend to think of them as being blessings. These are the things that Jesus wanted to teach us, though, at the very beginning of his ministry. The things he thought were so important that he needed to bring them up first, even before sending the disciples out to the world to do God's work. As many of you know, my mother died unexpectedly when I was 21, and I was devastated and became severely depressed as a result. I was eventually, because my depression and my sadness was so severe, I was taken to a psychiatric hospital in Missouri. I was living there at the time, and I stayed there for a few weeks until I recovered. Now, I imagine that many of you don't know what a psychiatric hospital is like in America, so allow me to share a little bit. So usually, the care and treatment of each patient is a team effort involving psychiatrists and nurses and social workers, and each one of these people has a check-in with a patient every day. So one day, I had my regular check-in with one of the psychiatrists assigned to me. So he asked me how I had been doing, and I told him honestly what I had been reflecting on since the day I was admitted. I told him that in the hospital, I had met a kind of people who I had never imagined meeting otherwise. So I was going to college in the U.S. at the time, and until that point, the type of people I encountered were mostly students, professors, and other reputable individuals with good education, titles, and degrees. Most of my classmates have been raised by the sort of well-off families who could afford to send kids to a private all-girls college, like myself included. But here in the psychiatric hospital, there were alcoholics, drug addicts, there were poor people, suffering people, people with crooked teeth, thin hair, people who spoke differently and carried themselves differently from all those I had interacted with in America up until that time. So in that space, I realized that I had been much better place in my life. I had a family, I was receiving a good education, and I never struggled with money growing up. Compared to the people around me in the hospital, I was far better off. My blessings are numerous, why they struggle to count but a few. Seeing all these suffering and poverty, I told my psychiatrist that by all accounts, I should consider myself happy because I had all these things that so many others did not. But when I told him that, he said this, "Why are you thinking of others? Why are you thinking like that? It's not about comparing your happiness with that of others. It's not about your pain being somehow more or less than the pain of others. Not many 21 years old lose mothers like that. Your pain is valid. Your pain should be embraced. Your pain should not be minimized." And in that moment, something clicked in me. For the first time, I felt like I was able to truly understand the depth of my grief as it existed within me rather than how it existed with comparison to others. I felt like screaming out to the world in desperation, "I'm hurt. I don't know what to do. Someone please help me." And in that moment, I had truly become poor in spirit. That word poor, used here in Greek, the language of the New Testament, means absolute poverty. It is a type of poverty where no amount of working can drag you out of poverty, where this level of poverty, you can only beg for help, waiting for someone or something else to provide you a way out, because there's absolutely nothing you can do to work your way out of this level of poverty. When Jesus mentions the poor in the spirit, poor in spirit, Jesus is not talking about people who are just out of their spiritual luck, you know, bad fortune. No, he's describing people whose hearts are worn out with so much hurt and pain and sadness that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that they can ease their pain. No material, no resources, no amount of rest or recuperation, no minimizing their pain by comparing it to someone else who seems to have gone through will not work. Nothing can save the truly poor in spirit. Nothing that is except our Triune God. After my conversation with a psychiatrist, I stopped comparing my pain with that of others, and then started trying to allow myself to be sad and hurt. I allow myself to be poor in spirit and to embrace the fact that nothing would work and that I could not find my way out without help. I was given a notebook to write in to keep track of my thoughts and feelings, and I just kept writing in that note, please help, this is too painful. Now, I have shared this part of the story before, so I imagine that many of you know already. But it was at this point, my darkest moment in life, when a nurse found me sobbing uncontrollably. She came and sat down at my bedside with the words that would change my life forever. She said to me, "Akiko, It's okay. You're gonna be okay. You'll be happy again. Everything happens for a reason, and God will not give you more than you can handle. I will be happy again because God will show me a way. That's what I was thinking. That moment, I felt there might be actually a light at the end of the dark tunnel. I felt God reached down and started pulling me out when I couldn't do it myself. In that moment, I felt I was truly blessed. Of course, my 21-year-old mind, which had not yet met Christ yet, couldn't really understand ideas like grief, happiness, blessedness, and God together in the same sentence. I couldn't grasp how they fit all together in the same sentence, and I definitely could not understand how the deep and abiding poverty in spirit could in any way coexist with even the idea of happiness. But this was the very beginning of my journey with God. I found God, and God found me, and when I allowed myself to be poor in spirit, when I realized that there was nothing else to do but to ask for help, nothing else left that I could count on, nothing but sheer desperation. I don't know about you, but don't you feel a little weird about how the passage talking about salt and light comes right after the Beatitudes? What kind of relationship could there even be there? Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And then suddenly Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? What? I have to admit, I couldn't figure out how salt could lose its saltiness. Maybe many of you know, but I didn't. So I turned to Google and tried and figured it out. So basically, salt does not really ever lose its taste, huh? Salt doesn't expire. Salt is one of the most basic mineral compounds, and it doesn't have an expiration date. There is, however, one condition in which salt can expire to lose its taste and not become salt anymore. That is, salt is good as long as you do not mix it with something else. The type of salt you see in the store, like table salt, for instance, is a salt that has been mixed with additives that prevent it from clumping, right? So while the salt on its own will not decay, over time those additives will degrade and leaving you with tasteless and useless salt. When we try to make ourselves look good and to keep our salt from clumping by hiding the fact that we are overwhelmed and stressed, that we are truly and deeply grieving inside, that we are so desperate in our hearts, when we do not allow ourselves to be poor in spirit, we lose the chance to meet God in such a transforming way. We stop being salty. We stop being salty when we try to become more than the salt we were made to be, when we try to make ourselves look better than the salt God made us to be by avoiding all the uncomfortable and painful clumping that salt naturally does. We lose our taste and lose our ability to be what God made us to be in the first place. We are good, simple, plain salt. And we are good as is. This is the blessing of salt. The blessing that comes when we stop hiding how truly desperate we are in the innermost depths of our heart. When we stop minimizing the depth and our suffering. When we stop comparing ourselves with others and just allow ourselves to embrace who we are in the midst of our pain. God is there God meets us there. God meets us there and blesses us most when we are poor in spirit. When we were mourning, when we are suffering, and when we stop trying to pretend that we are not. Our saltness comes when we own our brokenness and allow ourselves to be visible and vulnerable in that brokenness. Gayusi family, be real about the condition of your soul. Embrace the poverty of your spirit. And let your authentic and salty self shine out for all the world to see. But it's not just as individuals who experience salty moments in our lives and times in which we must allow ourselves, our struggle to be brought to light. Our whole church as a community can experience these moments together. Times when we all embrace the brokenness we go through in life and allow God to give us the blessing of salt, so that we can shine all the brighter and give light not just to the whole house, but to the whole community around us. Last Sunday, right here in the worship, we all prayed together for one of our members who was present because we were guided to pray by the Holy Spirit. Amen. This too was God's blessing of salt. Embracing the vulnerability of being prayed over by God's community. Not hiding our struggles and challenges, because all these things are blessings. By allowing God's light to shine through our brokenness and struggles and our challenges, those who are prayed for and those who are praying, all are blessed, touched by the presence of God in our midst. Do you think we are a blessed church? If you measure blessedness in terms of numbers of people sitting in the pews, numbers of people attending Sunday school or other small groups, or even the amount of money we take in by tithes every week, though I'd like to emphasize that tithing is a very important part of church life to sustain and continue on God's work. But if we measure in terms of these things, we are missing the point of today's scripture entirely. The blessing that Jesus is talking about comes from embracing our poverty of spirit. How desperately, truly, and completely do we seek God's face and ask for God's help in and among us? Are we all sharing the true conditions of our hearts, of our lives with each other? Allowing ourselves to be prayed over and loved by God's community? Do we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and poor in spirit so that we might retain our saltiness and be blessed by God as our vulnerability lights the way for us all around us? These are the blessings that do not show up in statistics, data, or numbers. But these are the things that can tell us if our church is truly blessed or not. I want to encourage you today and throughout this week to ask the Holy Spirit to help you open up and to be vulnerable in your places of struggle. What is giving you real issue? What is hurting you? What makes you brokenhearted? And embrace the ways in which you struggle together as a community. Whatever that is, let us open ourselves up to the depth of our hearts and allow ourselves and our community to be prayed for. A blessed church is poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the blessing of being poor in spirit. Help our church to be truly blessed. In In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.